أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. سبحانك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. وصلى الله تبارك وتعالى وسلم على سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. From the ayat of Al-Quran Al-Hakim, the Quran full of wisdom, is the commandment, the double emphatic commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ, let there be from amongst you a group of people, such an ummah, such a nation. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, that calls people toward goodness, that calls people toward good things. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, let them be amongst you a group of people who rises to invite people to that which is good, to command that which is right, and to forbid that which is evil. And those are the people who attain success. The commandment of that which is right and the forbidding of that which is evil is not merely the preserve of those who are religious minded. It's not merely the preserve of those who are praying five times a day in the masjid. It's not even really the preserve of the righteous and the pious. We have a whole complex in America. It's part of the cultural history of America, the holier-than-thou complex, where people judge one another. When one person tells another person something good or gives them good advice or tells them not to do something bad, discourages them from doing something bad, either to themselves or to others. There is a rider with that, that by me telling you this, I'm also establishing that I'm better than you are. I am more righteous than you are. I'm more pious than you are. Traditionally, the Muslims didn't view this wazifa, this task, and this job of commanding to that which is right and forbidding that which is evil, to be that way. Rather, it was something that was done with some humility, with the understanding of this is a job that I'm tasked to do, and it's a faridah, it's a fard, it's an obligation to command to that which is right and forbid that which is evil. It's an obligation in Islam, even if a person themselves is not able to fulfill what they are commanding, or if a person themselves is not a good person. This makes sense how? That this is a job that Allah Ta'ala tasked us with, to encourage one another to good and to discourage one another from evil. It's a job that we're tasked with, and like a slave has no choice but to obey the master, just like that we have no choice but to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, we're commanded not to look down on people when we enjoin the right and forbid the evil. It comes in a hadith of Tirmidhi that nobody will look down on another. Nobody will look down on another. Forget about when they're telling them to stop their sin. Nobody will simply look down on another person who is committing a sin or committing a wrong as if I'm better than you are. Except for Allah Ta'ala will cause that person to be in the tribulation and to be tried and to be humiliated by that same sin before they die. This is something that's very scary. Takabbur, the assumption and the acting as if a person has greatness. This is only the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the right of any of His creation. When we command to that which is right and forbid that which is evil, we do it in the spirit of what? In the spirit of nasiha, with sincerity to one another, and in the mode of sincere advice and of good advice. This is why traditionally, from amongst the Muslims, even our great scholars and our great righteous people, they would not chastise someone for telling them to do something. Oftentimes people would give advice and it would be even wrong. And so the proper adab is what? To thank a person for giving them good advice, even if it's wrong, even if you disagree with the advice somebody is giving you. So imagine if someone gives you correct advice, what should the adab be? If you're supposed to thank someone for giving you advice, even if you disagree with it, even if you think it's wrong, even if you're not going to enact it, then what should the adab be if someone tells you to do something and they're right? You see, you look at the advice, you don't look at the person who's delivering it. You look at the advice, you don't look at the person who's delivering it. Oftentimes, good advice is delivered with very bad adab, with very bad manners. Something that could have been taken care of or broached or addressed in private is broached in public. Something that could have been addressed or broached with kindness is broached with harshness or with indifference. Even then, it's the adab to take advice and not to take it personally. Why do people take advice when someone gives them advice in public? Why do people take it badly? People take it badly because it's embarrassing. You see, in front of everybody else, your shortcomings are being pointed out. For other people, you should be very concerned about that. You shouldn't give other people advice in public if you can get the job done by giving them advice in private. But it's a double standard. There should be a double standard. You should have one standard for other people. That standard must be much higher than the standard you have for yourself. As for yourself and for myself, if somebody gives me advice in public when they could have given it in private, it should make no difference to me. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala sees you in public and Allah Ta'ala sees you in private. He sees you when you're alone at your worst, when you're alone at your best, when you're in public at your worst, when you're in public at your best. He sees you. There's no fooling Him. So what's the point of being embarrassed in front of the creation when a person is not embarrassed in front of the Creator? And if a person has shyness and bashfulness in front of the Creator, then the creation, their eyes, are not something that should increase or decrease in that shyness or bashfulness one bit. This is very difficult advice to enact. But this is the adab of Islam. This is what Islam teaches us. Obviously, different people will do things for their own motives. Sometimes someone will chastise you in public, and their motive is not your islah. Their motive is not your rectification. Rather, they have some sort of ulterior motive. Islam teaches us not to worry about or judge other people's motives, because the islah and the rectification of other people is the second priority after the islah and rectification of yourself, of myself, for each and every one of us. The commandment of enjoining that which is right and forbidding that which is evil is described in a beautiful hadith of Sayyidina Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He narrates عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال مثل القائم على حدود الله والواقع فيها كمثل قوم استاموا على سفينة فأصاب بعضهم أعلاها وبعضهم أسفلها. He says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that the likeness of those who cross the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning those who are doing haram, those who stop at the limits of Allah ta'ala, don't cross them, I should say, and the likeness of those who don't stop and who cross them. So you have two groups. One, people who are observing the hudud of Allah Ta'ala, the limits of Allah Ta'ala, and the other group that are observing or not observing them and are crossing them. Now it's important to stop for a second and appreciate what words are used over here. Because this is one of the reasons we quote the hadith and we quote the Qur'an al-Karim in Arabic, not in translation. Because A, they're untranslatable, B, in translation, you lose precision in meaning. One of the definitions of this word hudud, right? We say the limits of Allah Ta'ala. Some people cross them. Those are the ones who commit the acts that are unlawful. And one set of people who, when they see that limit, they stop before crossing. One of the meanings of the word hudud in Arabic language is a definition. You know, when you define something, you look it up in the dictionary, what's the definition? Or you have an engineer defining a plot of land, a survey. Where does the lines of the land end? Where do they begin? Where do they cross over with one another? And part of the understanding of hudud is what? Of had is what? Is that it requires education. It requires knowing where those lines are with precision. With precision. If I were to ask everybody in this masjid, how, do you know how to make wudu? Do you know how to make the ablution, the washing before prayer? Undoubtedly, almost everybody is going to race with one another to raise their hand and say, of course I do. In fact, many people will feel insulted. In fact, some people may feel insulted that I even asked a question right now. But the fact of the matter is, and this is not anecdotal, this is based on empirical evidence, group after group of Muslims, once you start talking about the actual issues of ritual purification in detail, what will end up happening, there'll be a cascade of questions, very practical daily questions that are things that happen in people's lives. There will be a practical cascade of questions, both from the brothers and from the sisters, such that it will overwhelm any speaker who is teaching a class. It will be something that will have to be divided up over several sessions. That's how much room there is to learn. What are we talking about here? Hudud, right? We're talking about limits. We're talking about knowledge. What is righteousness? What is not righteousness? What is piety? What is not piety? What's your right against people? What's their right against you? What is Allah's right from you? What should you expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All of those things. What form do they take in this world? What form do they take in the hereafter? It's a big deal. That's why the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has so many hadith and so many statements about the importance of learning knowledge. Why? Because what we're going to talk about right now, commanding to that which is right and forbidding that which is evil. If a person doesn't have knowledge, if a person is jahil, if they're ignorant, they're going to take this khutbah and it's going to fly like a kite in the left field of their imagination. And they're going to go crazy on people and think that they're doing something good when in fact all they're doing is evil. All they're doing is harm. Right? You remember we talked about this whole more righteous than thou, holier than thou complex that the people in this country and in this culture detest and hate so much. Why is it? It's all based on people doing amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar, enjoining that which is right and forbidding that which is evil, while not knowing what is right and not knowing what is evil and not knowing what the proper etiquette of enjoining what is right and forbidding what is evil is. And it's something that I hope is not falling on deaf ears. But we have to learn it. We can't just say we're going to put this to the side. Your religion is your personal matter. My religion is my personal matter. I don't interfere with you. You don't interfere with me. And we just do our own thing. Because only people who do that are people who don't love one another. The only people who do that are people who don't love one another. Right? لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ. Right? To you is your religion, to me is mine. It's ayah of the Quran. Which surah is it from? It's from Surah Al-Kafirun. It's addressed to those people who are dejected from faith, who reject faith, who want nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a way to treat one another as brothers and sisters. Wallahi, it's not a way to treat one another as brothers and sisters. If you cared for another person, you wouldn't leave him alone like that. You would always tell them what's best, and you would always protect them from what's worse, and you would always love for them to tell you what's best, and you would always love for them to protect you from what's worst. So, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about a method, about a parable or a likeness. The likeness of those who stop at the limits that Allah ta'ala has laid down for them in the sacred law. And those people who cross the limits, who don't care about the limits, who cross the limits that are laid down for them in the sacred law. كَمَثَلِ قَوْمٍ اسْتَهَمُوا عَلَى سَفِينَةٍ. Like a group of people who are going to take a journey on a ship. Right? This is a metaphor. What is the ship? The metaphor of the ship. The ship is earth. It's like a group of people who had to travel on a ship. And so they draw lots. You know, drawing lots, it's a random way of doing it. Who gets to be on the deck? Who gets to be down in the hull of the ship? Right? All of the different places in the ship are different. Some are more pleasant than others. Some have a better view than others. Some are closer to the bathroom. Some are further from the bathroom. Some of them are noisier. Some of them different. What's the most fair way of dividing them? Right? You draw lots. Right? You draw lots. And randomly, whoever gets whatever, that way we cannot accuse anyone of being unfair. This is a majaz of the positions that we have in life. Although the positions that we have in life, the places that we have in life aren't random. Everything Allah Ta'ala does in His wisdom and His knowledge that preceded the creation of creation. Everything that we have is part of that wisdom, and it's through His will. And everybody is where they are supposed to be. And there is nowhere better for each and every one of us to end up. This is our belief. There's nowhere better that you could have gone, nowhere better I could have gone. You say, Shaykh, you know, someone sitting next to me is making $500,000 a year, and I'm late on my credit card payments. And you're telling me where I'm supposed to be, and there's no one who could be better than me? That's not believable. Say, look, Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment, when the righteous are in Jannah, and when the arrogant, and the criminal, and the person who cared neither for themselves, nor for Allah, nor for their brother or sister, whatever faith they may have been of, that person is in the fire, where they deserve to be, on that day. On that day when you're enjoying the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're enjoying the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that day tell me, am I not where I'm supposed to be? You have to look at things from a holistic perspective. You cannot look at things from just a small perspective. Like an ant that's crawling on the black part of the carpet and he thinks the entire carpet is black. He doesn't appreciate the design of the entire carpet because he's so small, you can't see right now. A day will come when you'll see the hikmah of Allah in everything. A day will come when even Pharaoh will be a person who knows as much about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the righteous, the people in this world do. When even the worst of people will be people of divine gnosis. On that day it won't be a benefit to them, but they'll know on that day, just like all of us will know. So the metaphor of this istiham, of drawing lots for which place you end up in the ship, is that to you because you can't appreciate it, to me because I can't appreciate it. Because we're small beings in this planet compared to our Lord, who's mighty and majestic and complete in His knowledge and complete in His wisdom. To us it may seem very random. Where did we end up? Who is a man? Who is a woman? Who is an Arab? Who is not an Arab? Who is American? Who is not American? Who is intelligent? Who's not the brightest, you know, bulb in the set? Who is wealthy, who's not wealthy, who is physically strong, who is always ill, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. To us it seems as if it's random. But whatever, we accept whatever lot we have in life and we go to our different places in the ship. So what he says, what does the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about this parable? He continues, فَكَانَ الَّذِينَ فِي أَسْفَلِهَا إِذَا اسْتَقَوْا مِنَ الْمَاءِ مَرُّوا عَلَى مَنْ فَوْقَهُمْ فَقَالُوا لَوْ أَنَّا خَرَقْنَا فِي نَصِيبِنَا خَرْقًا وَلَمْ نُذِي مَنْ فَوْقَنَا. He says that there is a problem that everybody in the ship needs water. So some people are closer to the water and from the deck of the ship. And some people are further from water, they're in the hull of the ship. So every time the people in the hull of the ship have to cross the people on the deck, the people on the deck, they act like they're bothered, they're annoyed. Why are you wasting our time? Why are you giving us this difficulty? Why are you annoying us so much? You need water again? You need water again? And so what happens? The people in the bottom, they have an idea. They have an idea. It's not a very smart idea. What is their idea? That if we drill a hole in the side of the ship, we can get as much water as we want to. It's our own access of water. It's our own almost inexhaustible tap of water. And we won't bother the people who are up top. This is a very beautiful example. Why? Because it gives an excuse also for the people of sin. It gives an excuse. Part of the deen is to have a good opinion of others. Even if people are sinners, to have a good opinion of them. To know that they're in a circumstance. If I was in that circumstance, maybe I would have even done worse than what they did. What is it? That everybody has different needs and different wants in life. Everybody has different circumstances. Some people's circumstance compels them to do certain things. And all the people on the top of the ship, you know, you have both your parents, you were given an education, you were taught good manners, you always, you know, you never starved, you never were wrongly incarcerated for a crime you didn't commit. When people meet you, they meet you with honor and respect. They don't meet you with, you know, in a way that's detestable, or in a way that assumes that you're a criminal or that you're a person of second rate in terms of value or worth as a human being. From that perspective, it's very difficult to appreciate why somebody would commit a crime. Because from that perspective, you and I have never had to commit a crime. To do what's right has been easier for us than it has been for other people. There's a number of circumstances that some of which we know, some of which are measurable. Poverty and education, etc. They're measurable, that show that there's an empirical connection between these indicators and how likely a person is to commit a crime or to commit a sin, to break the law. And there are certain things that we cannot empirically measure, but they're real. They're real. Mental, spiritual, psychological stresses that people face. They're very real. So it's very beautiful that, what is it? That their sin starts out of some innocence. It starts out of a combination of innocence and ignorance. This is another plug for why knowledge is so necessary. Common sense would have told those people, this is not a good idea. But it's not so common after all. That's why a community which is educated is a community which is righteous. Even if the people don't have the disposition of righteousness inside of them. Whereas a community which is uneducated is going to be a community of harm, even if people have the disposition of piety inside of them. Why? Because they will use religious fervor and zeal to do something which is not beneficial, and they'll think it's beneficial. Whereas the other set of people will withhold themselves from doing something wrong because they can truly appreciate why that wrong thing is harmful. And they don't need to rely upon who's born with a quieter and a less angry disposition than the other, or something like that, which is much more random, something much more out of your control. So what happens? They have this idea that if we just drill a hole in the side of the ship, we can get our water whenever we want to, we can take it whenever we want to, and we don't have to bother whoever is above us in the ship. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comments that. He says, فَإِنْ تَرَكُوهُمْ وَمَا أَرَادُوا هَلَكُوا جَمِيعًا وَإِنْ أَخَذُوا عَلَىٰ أَيْدِيهِمْ نَجَوْا وَنَجَوْا جَمِيعًا. That those people on the top deck, when they find out about this brilliant plan, if they go down to the bottom deck and they grab their brother by the hand and say, brother, this is not a good idea. This is sister, this is not a good idea. You're going to sink the entire ship. You're going to cause problems. This is not a good idea. We're sorry that we made faces every time you came by, and we made those comments every time you came by for water. In fact, this is our fault. We will, from now on, make way from you. We'll work out a system. You can come at this time every day. We'll make way for you. We can work it out. We can make some solution for this. This is not a solution. If they do that, and they help them, then who's going to be saved? All of them will be saved. The pious and the impious. All of them will be saved together. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if they leave them and say, oh, you know those crazy people, I cannot be bothered with them. They annoyed us on the top of the deck, and I really don't care what they're doing down in the bottom deck. I don't care what those crazy people are doing in the weird country. I don't care what the poor people are doing on the other side of town. I don't care what black people are doing, or what white people are doing, or what immigrants are doing, or what Americans are doing, or what, you know, poor people are doing, or what this people are doing. I don't care. I live the American dream. I earn my money. I'm in my house. I don't care what's going on. People outside can go to hell. That's the attitude people have. Unfortunately, that's the attitude a lot of Muslims have. Let them go to hell. You see this. I will lie. You see this. So there are people who pray five times a day. It's completely disgusting. But when it comes to the simplest of things, they'll take their garbage and throw it over the walls of their house into the street. They don't care. Why? Everybody outside can go to hell. Build barbed wire fence, put bars into your windows, and don't worry about what's going on outside. Who cares? What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He says that if the people on the top deck leave the people on the bottom deck to do what they want to do, and they let the people on the bottom deck die, then all of them will die together. And if the people on the top deck take their brothers by the hand and stop them from doing what they were going to do, and they make some sort of understanding, some sort of arrangement, if they can do that, when they're saved, they're all going to be saved together. This is a concept. In the hereafter, judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, judgment in front of God, is individual. No man answers for the sins of another person. No man will receive the reward for the righteousness and the piety of another person. But in this world, nations are judged together. Nations will be successful together, and they will fail together. You know, they say failed state. They'll be successful together, and they'll be a failed state together. The pious and the righteous and the criminals will all fail together, or they'll all be successful together. Allah Ta'ala says in His book, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاسَةً. And fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a punishment that doesn't afflict the people of dhulm, of oppression only. When it hits everybody. When a storm hits, it hits everybody. When an earthquake hits, it hits everybody. It doesn't ask who's pious and who's righteous. Maybe miraculously certain people are saved. But generally speaking, if a person dies in it, a storm or an earthquake, we don't take it to be that this is an unrighteous person. It was just their time to leave this world. When those punishments strike, they strike everybody together. This is why we need to command that which is right and forbid which is evil. Not because I'm better than you or you're better than me, but because it's not about me and you. It's about all of us together. It's about all of us being saved together, and it's about all of us being prevented from being destroyed together. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah ta'ala give us the sincerity. It's not easy. May Allah ta'ala give us the sincerity we need in order to view our brothers and their well-being as ourselves and as our own well-being. And when we give each other nasiha, sincere advice, that it's just that, it's sincere advice. It's not talking down to somebody or you know, seeing ill in somebody. Rather, it's seeing yourself in another person, and it's having that empathy and that type of sympathy for another person like you would like other people to have for yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to know what is right and what is wrong in the first place. That we're not going to go around and tiring, beat each other with a stick. People say, oh, Shaykh, you have a stick. Jummah khutbah, I'm afraid you're going to hit me with it. There's, wallahi, I see people walk into masjid very frequently. They beat each other up. They don't need a stick. The way they beat each other up with their words is worse than what you could have done with a stick. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from being that person. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us for having been that person in the past. In the future, that we think twice and we only give advice based on solid and sound knowledge. And if we don't know something, leave other people alone and say Allah knows best. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know, so that there can be a cure for the sickness that comes with jahl, that comes with ignorance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten and illuminate our hearts. May Allah ta'ala make people, us people, take each other by the hand with love, and that we be people who gain salvation together, not people who are destroyed together. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ وَبِاللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ وصلى الله تعالى على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين وأقول قولي هذا ولله الحمد وصلى الله تعالى على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين يقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون وصدق الله العظيم وأقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون. وقال عز وجل في كتابه الكريم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وآل سيدنا محمد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت ورحمت وباركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير سألك به محمد نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر نستعاذك به محمد نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. صلى الله تعالى على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وأقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا